Well, I am excited to be able to introduce to you this morning our guest speaker that's with us today. And every time he comes, people come up to me after the service and say, Pastor Gary, are we going to have him back? Is he going to come back again? And I'm excited to let you know that he is back again today. And our guest speaker today is a visionary leader that has been a great leader in our area for the last 30 years or so. And has been a great leader in different capacities, and is a leader amongst leaders, helps to mentor different leaders and senior pastors that are in our area as well. And he has a passion to reach youth and old alike. He has a passion to be able to see people spiritually mature in their faith, no matter what background they come from. And he was a lead pastor and founder of Center of Praise and grew that ministry to what it is today. So I'm excited to be able to introduce to you this morning our guest speaker, Bishop Lovelace.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everyone. Come on, give God a high praise and bless his name. He's worthy. Come on, let's just bless him. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me. All that's within me. All that's within me. Bless his holy name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm in the right church. Praise God. Take your seats. It's good to see y'all. What a blessing. What a blessing. What a blessing. I am so glad to see my Harvest family once again. I tell you, God has been good to us. I'm so happy. I don't know what to do with myself. Come on, smile at somebody and say, I'm so happy I don't know what to do with myself. Go ahead and tell them. Praise God. I'm so happy to see you and thank the Lord for you, and certainly want to honor the presence of Jesus that is in this place and the presence of his precious Holy Spirit. We thank God so much, and certainly thank the Lord for our beloved pastor, Pastor Perry, and his lovely wife, whom we love. Can we thank the Lord for Pastor Perry and his wife? I know he loves y'all, because when I get a text from him wherever he is at 1 o'clock in the morning this morning, I know he loves you all. So thank the Lord for that. And certainly want to thank the Lord for Pastor Gary and his lovely wife, and Pastor Randy. Can we thank them, thank God for them, and all of the pastors? And it is for me, although for explanation, they say the guest speaker, this to me is like family. Y'all are family. That's all right with y'all? All right. I claim y'all. I hope y'all claim me. I do. And we love you. We love you. We love you. And thank God for you. So we're going to get right into our teaching, see what the Lord has for us. And we thank God for you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this, your beloved. My dear ones that are here, I thank you and I give you praise. Father, those whom you have allowed me to stand before this moment, I'm humbled. I'm touched. Thank you, Lord God, that you would take one such as I and give me the joy, the blessing to stand before such a greater people, God. I love you. I bless you. Now, Lord, give us clarity of thought, continuity of thinking, accuracy of the text. Help your servant to teach in such a way that even a child would be able to embrace the powerful truth that is given to us through the text. We give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Open your Bibles with me, if you will, please, to Philippians chapter 3. And I want to share with you what the Holy Spirit put upon my heart just earlier in the week, and even as late and early as 3 o'clock this morning, he just started stirring me up concerning us, concerning our family here. And I entitled this teaching, which we'll see in just a moment as we go through the text, Press Your Purpose. Press your purpose. Embrace. Go after. Take hold of. Seize your purpose. Embrace it. I am of the opinion that God has not merely a purpose, but many purposes, purposes, plural, that correspond and align with his heart, that he desires to manifest or demonstrate through each and every one of our lives. It is often stated as a singular purpose, that there is one purpose. You hear people say, what is your purpose? Or this is my purpose. But in actuality, there are two corrections I give there. That number one, I believe that there is a plurality of purposes, that there are many purposes that God demonstrates in our lives. And I submit to you that it is not merely our purpose, it's not my purpose, but rather God's purpose through me. It's not even so much about my name, about my fame, about who I am. When all of this has passed, is the name of Jesus glorified? That's what it's about. That's what it's about. A lot of us get caught up on the names. Churches get caught up on their name. The denominations get caught up on their name. People get caught up on their name. But is Jesus glorified? When it's all said and done, can I step back at the end of the day and say, Lord, I've done what I've done so that your name will be praised? That's my heart. That's my desire. That's what I'm, my pastor when I was growing up as a child was Pastor Willie P. Cook at Shiloh Baptist Church. And Pastor Cook lived to be about 93, 94, actually close to 96 years old, I believe. And I remember I'd go to his little humble house. This man pastored a great congregation. He used to be one of the largest churches in the city. It was the mega church before there were mega churches. And he was just a little humble man. And I remember going to his house there on 12th Avenue. And I'd say, Pastor Cook, how are you doing? And he said, well, I'm gaining on it. And then I'd ask him a question. I'd say, when you look at me, one of your sons in the gospel, preaching the gospel and ministering the word, and you see what God has done and what God is doing, what goes through your mind? And this little 90-some-year-old man would look at me and he'd say, with tears in his eyes, he'd say, well, I shake my head and say, Lord, thank you that I did not do anything that would have caused this man to turn from following you. Purpose. Purposes. The reason God has us interfacing with one another. The reason God has us waking up. The reason God has us going about our day. What are the purposes that God has for us? I encourage that we would press into it so that such things as distraction, disillusionment, discouragement will not cause us to forfeit the inheritance of the kingdom. There are some kingdom things that God wants to manifest in our lives. There are some things that God wants to demonstrate. As it is in heaven, he wants it to be on the earth. But God says to do so, I need hands and feet and mouths and ears and vessels. People who are willing to give me a yes, Lord. Not because we've got it all together, but because we have connected with the one who is the author and the finisher of our faith. See, that's the heart of God. That's the heart of Jesus. That's what he desires to do. As we look here at our text, which is found in Philippians chapter 3. Philippi is a leading city in the region that is referred to as Macedonia. Philippi is one of the Roman colonies. And it was in Acts 16 and verse 9 that Paul was called there in a vision. Some of you will recall the story in which he had a vision of a man calling from him in Macedonia, saying, come to us. And it was there also in Acts 16, verses 23 through 24, that we find that Paul, in going there to minister, he was scourged, he was beaten and imprisoned. But yet God would use him to minister there first and foremost to a woman who was by the name of Lydia, who was leading just a small group of people. There was no church in Philippi as far as an established church, but there were a gathering, a small gathering of believers that came together to study God's word. And later on, he would witness to the Philippian jailer, the one who had the responsibility of watching over him while he was imprisoned, while he was jailed. God would allow him to minister the gospel to this Philippian jailer. And it's always fascinating to me. You hear people preach that story about how Paul and Silas were locked in jail. They sang and prayed at midnight. And then all of a sudden the earthquake came and they were set free. But if you read the text, you find that Paul and Silas were there after singing and praying at midnight and the earthquake came and the doors opened and so forth. The real miracle was not the fact that they were set free. The miracle was is that after every door was open, they stayed there. They stayed there. It takes somebody that understands God's purposes, that can discern what's really going on around you, so that you don't do like some folk and think that God is in the business of always doing jailbreaks. Sometimes God wants you to stay right where you are, in the place of discomfort, in the place of at times seemingly frustration. Stay right there, because there's a greater witness in just remaining in the will of God than trying to do it your way. It's so fascinating, because it really wasn't about getting Paul and Silas out of their jail. It was about getting the Philippian and his family, the Philippian jailer and his family, out of their jail, out of their prison. You realize that there can be someone going through something that's heavier and deeper than what you think you are in. And God says, but I have a witness. I have to have someone be on the premises so that I can work my purposes and my plans for this moment, for this hour. It's in this atmosphere that you find this text. It's in this backdrop that you find this text, that we find in the book of Philippians. Paul writes this statement. This is based upon all that he has experienced with these people here in Philippi. He says, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me, and it is safe for you. This is a pastor talking. This is a pastor's heart. Pastors have a tendency to repeat themselves. They say things over and over again. That is a quality of a good pastor. A good pastor, I know some of you thought, no, I thought he was slipping. No, it actually is a quality of a good pastor that will continue to reiterate and continue to be repetitive and continue to bring forth teaching. If you've been here in our church family any length of time in Harvest, you can say, I've heard Pastor Perry preach that text or that scripture before. I've heard that before. I've heard him emphasize that teaching before. That means that you have a good pastor. You're under a good pastor. Because a good pastor, first of all, it's not a problem for a pastor to repeat himself or herself. It's not a problem. You don't like it, but it's not a problem with them. It's safe for you to hear it again. It is safe for you to be reminded of it again. It is safe. It's for your benefit to hear it over again. If my grandfather was here, he lived to be 114 years old. My grandfather, he died in 1982. Here's how he'd put it. It would behoove you It would behoove you to hear the text again, to hear it expounded again, to hear it opened up to your understanding once again. It's safe for you. It is safe for you. We used to say pastors have a distinct ministry from evangelists. This is not to be in any way putting down the ministry of the evangelist. We need the ministry of the evangelist in the local church today. We need good news carriers. We have evangelists come because they help to bring souls and see people drawn to the Lord and come to know the Lord. But we often say with evangelists, they blow in, blow up, and blow out. But a pastor will hang with you in the trenches until you have matured through the text. We're not interested merely in just seeing numbers come and receiving Jesus. That's important to us. That's where we need the evangelistic ministry. We need the evangelist to help us. But we also now, after you have received Jesus, we want you now to grow and be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want you to mature in the Word of God. We want you to know why you are dancing. We want you to know why you are shouting. We want you to know why we praise God the way that we do. We don't want just to be an emotional experience for you and we just have a wonderful good time. We want you to take this home with you so that when you go to work tomorrow, you are living this out. When you go to school on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, this is a part of your testimony. This is a part of your life. In other words, pastors want to see us grow. Grow. Thank God for pastors. Thank God for Paul. Thank God. I know folk don't like pastors today. They want baked pastor, fried pastor, boiled pastor, pastor fricassee. But thank God for pastors today. Thank God for men and women who will preach the word of God in season and out of season, whether you like it or don't like it. Thank God for pastors. Thank God for pastors. I don't need to come here and have somebody stroke me and make me feel good about myself. I need you to get into some of my ugly business too. The part that I won't testify about, the part I won't, you know. I need you to talk to me about the word. He says, look out for the dogs. He's not talking about Chihuahuas, German Shepherds, and Poodles. Look out for the dogs. He explains who they are. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. These are the Judaizers. These are the ones who are religious. They're not concerned about a personal relationship with God. They're more concerned about their actions and their duties, what they do. And they equate duties with righteousness. They equate duties with godliness. They equate the laws and so forth. These are people who press upon others regulations and rules, even though they don't follow themselves. These are religious folks. You know, these are the ones who live out this kind of arrogance and this kind of life. Let me put it this way. They can just be outright mean, you know, just mean folks, you know. I grew up in a background that for a while I thought I was living amongst these type of folks. They thought that it's what you wore and what you did and all kinds of things that equated to holiness. The ladies, you had to wear dresses down beneath your ankles, and you could not wear no makeup, and no, couldn't cut your hair, and you couldn't wear any jewelry, and you had to have something all the way around your neck, and so forth. And they said it was holiness. I said it was ugly, but they had us wearing these things, the ladies, and that's how they presented it. Here, Paul says, look out for those kind of folks. Look out for those kind of folks. Now, let me say something to you. I don't say that to be mean-spirited in any form or fashion, because one thing I must say about the folks who taught those type of things, even though they took it way too far, we are living in a day now, and I have to admit, we could pull it back a little bit. I didn't think I was going to get too many amens on that one right there, but we could stand to pull it back just a little bit. Some of us have gone way too far. Way too far. If you leading worship, I don't need to have you wear a dress up to here. Anyway, let's go back to the text. So, come on, look at somebody. Say, just pull it in just a little bit. Pull it back just a little bit. We don't need to see all of that. What I look like sitting up here and my jeans are so tight, it leaves nothing for the imagination. So we find in the Word of God here, look, for we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Come on, children. He says here, we are the circumcision who worship in the Spirit, who worship because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I need to stop right here. I believe when I drove up on the property this morning and parked my car, I think I got out at the right church where you all still believe, as I preached the last time I was here, in the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the power of God and God moving amongst his people. And we're not just coming here going through a religious duty, but when we come here, there's the transformational power of God that is in this house, that he loves us just the way that we are, but he loves us too much to leave us as we are. He is breaking yokes and destroying the yokes of the enemy, healing marriages and touching bodies and bringing children home and delivering the hearts of the people. Am I in the right church up in here today? I believe we are of the circumcision that worship God. We worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Because the reality is, if I'm to be honest today, within my own strength and ability, there is no good thing. You can have degrees. You can have money. You can have stuff. One can have status, but not have the anointing. A degree won't set you free. A money will not bring deliverance. Money and stuff won't bring deliverance. Cars and stuff that people get excited about. This is where the church got off a little bit. We started talking about having things and having stuff, but we didn't talk about having Jesus. We kept talking about money cometh, money cometh, money cometh. I would to God that somebody would have said, Jesus cometh, power coming, anointing coming, healing coming. But we got off on some things. But here, we get back on track with the purposes of God. He says, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, look what Paul says. I the more circumcised on the eighth day. I'm of the people of Israel. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. As of the law, I was a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, I was blameless. But whoever or whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Whatever I thought I had, it is not to be compared to having Christ in my life. Whatever I think I possess, it is not to be compared to having the joy of being obedient and saying yes to God. Watch what he says here, beloved. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Knowing Christ, knowing Jesus, so that others may know him. Knowing Jesus in such a way that when you see my life, you must ask the question, who has made you like this? What has happened in your life? What has changed in your life? You're not the man you used to be. You're not the woman you used to be. What has taken place with you? I went to the same high school with you. I lived in the same house with you. I worked on the same job with you. But now something is different. What's different about you? I know Jesus. I'm getting to know him more and more. And the more I know him, the more I love him. And the more I love him, the more he changes me. And the more he changes me, the more I love him some more. And the more I love him some more, the more he keeps changing me again. And the more he keeps changing me, the more I keep loving him some more. And the more I keep loving him, he keeps changing me over. Isn't it powerful? Isn't it powerful? Isn't it powerful? Isn't it powerful? Like he says, I don't come just to make you feel good. I come to get all deep down on the inside and get the ugly stuff, the dark stuff, the stuff that you don't want everybody to see, the stuff that they see all the outside. They see, they think you look good. They think you've got it all together. But baby, it's only because of a work of Jesus Christ on the inside of me. It's not because I've got it all together. It's because I serve a God. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is risen. How do you know he's alive? He lives within me. I am full of opportunities and purposes of God. I have to say yes to God. I don't belong to myself. I don't belong to myself. I'm sold out to the purposes of God. Every day, the Holy Spirit speaks to me. Despite myself, maybe I'm the only one in the room, but despite myself, come on, lean on somebody, say, despite myself, he still chooses to use me. Despite myself, he chooses to put his glory in imperfect vessels. Despite myself, if it would have been left up to me, if it had been left up to people, I wouldn't be standing on this stage today. I'd be sitting off somewhere cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, looking sad and depressed and looking mad and full of my own fear and full of my own doubt. But God in his love and his care reached out and got a hold of me, took a boy born in Montgomery, Alabama, in 1962, stuttered from the time I was born until I was 17, loosed my tongue, put boldness in my heart, gave me a mind to want to serve him. Even when the doctor said he'll never be this, the school teacher said he'll never do this, God put his hand on me. God put his purposes in me. God put his anointing in me. And you think I'm going to sit here and look cute and look pretty? No, I will bless the Lord at all times because his praise, his praise, his praise, his praise. He's done too much. Come on, tap somebody, say he's done too much. Come on, say he's done too much. I owe him this praise. I owe him this glory. I owe him a shout. Give him praise. Hey. His purposes. Every day I wake up on purpose, with purpose, for purpose. When my feet hit the floor, when my feet hit the floor every morning, the devil says, oh hell no, he up. He's awake. Oh no.
And I'm not talking about just so I can get up here and preach to you on Sunday morning. I'm talking about living out purpose on Monday morning. Living out purpose on Tuesday afternoon. Come on, living out purpose on Thursday, on Friday, on Saturday, every day. Just the other day, I was driving down the street, minding my own business. Just driving down the street, minding my business. And the Holy Spirit said, this happened just last week. I was driving on Broadway. The Holy Spirit says, stop and go inside the funeral home. And I'm like, I see dead people. I ain't going up in there. You know what I'm saying? He says, go inside the funeral home. And I'm thinking, I don't know anybody up in there. Why stop and go to funeral? Can we stop? Can you, Holy Spirit, say stop and go inside Popeyes or something like that, you know? But can we go inside Popeyes, get a two-piece and a biscuit? My Holy Spirit says, no, stop and go in the funeral home. And I'm sitting there with all of the excuses. I'm not dressed. I don't have a tie. I'm wearing a t-shirt. I've got on my blue jeans. Isn't it amazing that the Holy Spirit will put purpose opportunities before us, but we'll talk ourselves out of it because we disqualify or dismiss ourselves based upon what we think we can offer instead of letting God do what he wants to do through us. I stopped the car. I went inside the funeral home. I spoke to the director. I thought, I don't know why I'm here. I said, maybe just to say hello to the staff. Hello, staff. And the Holy Spirit spoke through the funeral director and says, Bishop, I'm so glad you're here. We've got a family that's in with their family member right now, and they need somebody just to go in and pray with them. Would you go pray with them? Just something as simple as that. They don't have anybody to pray with them. So I went in there and prayed with the family. And I actually, when I went in there, I didn't even come in and say, I'm here to pray for you. I just walked in, and they said to me, we're so glad. They had never met me. They said, we're so glad that you came in. I told them who I was. They said, would you mind saying a prayer for us? And we prayed right there in that chapel. Then I'm walking out, going to the car, and I said, well, God, I guess that's what you wanted me to do. Right as I'm walking out, there's another family that says, would you mind coming and praying for us too? Y'all, we almost broke out in a revival up in that funeral home. I don't belong to myself. We belong to God. I got to close. Listen to what he says here in verse 12. Not that I've already obtained this or I'm already perfect. Lean on somebody and say, I don't have it all together. Come on, say, I don't have it all together. But lean on them. Take your hand and touch their shoulder and say, but I press. Come on, say, I press. I don't have it all together. But I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind me, I strain or press forward, hallelujah, towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of Christ. I'm pressing forward. Let me close and give you some thoughts here. Write these down quickly. I'm going to give you some press your purpose keys. Press your purpose keys real quick. Number one, take note of your growth. Take note of your growth. Look how far God has brought you. Babe, you ain't who you used to be. Now you know good and well. There's some folks, if they even looked at you funny, you would have cussed them from right to left. A to the Q to the Z to the T. Lean on somebody and say, ooh, folk better be glad I'm saved. Come on, lean on. Ooh. God did something when he saved me. Take note of your growth. You may not have it all together, but you're not where you were. Don't let the enemy lie to you and make you believe you've got to be this way or that way before God can use you. That's a lie from the pit. The fact that you are sitting in your seat right now, I want you to look up and down your row and tell somebody, say, I'm on an assignment. I am sitting where I'm sitting because God knew you would be sitting next to me and I would be able to demonstrate to you what God will do when someone says yes to God. You're in the right place. You're in the right place. Take note of your growth. Number two, evaluate, adjust your surroundings. Anything that's negative, anything that's trying to pull people down, anything that's trying to discourage you or discourage others, you turn around and say, that is not where I live. I don't camp out there. Anybody want to bring gossip to you? Shut it down. Let them know, baby, I'm not your trash can. Don't bring trash to me. God is doing too much in my life right now. I don't have time for foolishness. I don't have time to go back to where I was. I'm looking forward to the opportunities of purpose that God has in my life. Then those of us that are bold enough to admit that we fall short and we miss it every day, myself included, both hands up in my feet lest I hit the floor. Be bold enough to admit it, quit it, and forget it. Don't let the enemy hold you down on the sins of yesterday. Take ownership. Admit it. Admit it. But then quit it. Don't admit it and say, well, you know the grace of the Lord. Admit it and stop. Ooh, I got to close because I felt a pushback right there on that one. I mean, admit, but then stop. Not in your own power, but use the power of the Holy Spirit that is in you and say, God, deliver me. Set me free. Even from myself. Admit it. Quit it. And then keep moving. And then lastly, advance forward. Don't give up. Touch three people. Say, don't give up. Don't give up. Come on, look at somebody. Say, don't give up. Come on, don't give up. There's purposes all in front of you. There's opportunities all in front of you. There's some things, even on this day, that God's going to put before many of you some purposes. Be bold enough to just step in and say, yes, God. Not because of how good I am, but because of how good you are. Stand to your feet all over this room. Touch a hand, touch a shoulder. Put your hand on a shoulder or touch a hand. You're standing next to a man or a woman that's full of the purposes of God. And somebody's tried to disqualify or dismiss themselves. The adversary's tried to tell you God won't use you. God can't use you. I wish you would hear the testimonies of pastors who stand and will tell you how the enemy fights us and tells us, how can you stand up and minister the word? We don't tell you those stories. You only see the outcome and the victory side, but you don't see the warfare side. I wished there would be those in this room that would just be bold enough to tell you, I've been to the place of brokenness in my life. And yet, despite all that I've been through and all that I'm going through, I would not trade saying yes to God for anything. You're not where you were, babies. You're not where you were, darlings. You have grown. You've come a long ways. Keep moving. There's some purposes in front of you. It's not time for you to die. It's time for you to live. It is not time for you to throw in the towel. It's time for you to be victorious. Because there's a woman or a man or a boy or a girl that is attached to your testimony. Open your mouth wide and begin to speak blessing over your brother, over your sister. Come on, let them hear you. Let them hear you speaking strength to them. Let them hear you speaking hope, vision, opportunities. Let Jesus be glorified in this woman, in this man. Let the kingdom advance. Let God be glorified. Let the people be edified. Let the devil be horrified that this man, this woman, is standing here today, full of purposes. Full of purposes. Not one purpose, many purposes. Not one, many. Take a deep breath. Breathe in life. Breathe in strength. This is the day the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. Press. Come on and press. Press with your praise. Press with your praise.
What a great reminder to live with purpose. Amen.